their supply of signal flares exhausted. The party aboard the Polana can only wait and hope that daylight will bring a ship to their rescue. In her cabin, Nagi appeals to Andra to help her avert the disaster she believes is threatening her. He thinks she is too much concerned about the menace and urges her to let him call Chandler. In despair, Nagi says she must resign herself to her destiny. A moment later, she cries out in utter terror. Chandler and Dorothy rush into the cabin, and Dorothy draws back in horror as she recognizes the scene she saw in the crystal. The present act opens in Chandler's cabin a few hours later. Chandu, the magician.
Drink some coffee, Nagi, please.
Yes, Nagi. It will do you good.
Oh, I cannot, Chandu.
Try, Nagi.
No, no, Dorothy. I cannot. I can only see Andra's face as he sat in my cabin talking to me one moment before.
Oh, don't, Nagi.
The doctor says he'd probably had a weak heart for years, but no one suspected it.
Yes, sir, that's what he said, Nagi. And he asked Uncle Frank if Andra had had any kind of a shock. Didn't he, Uncle Frank?
Yes. I told him he couldn't question you tonight, Nagi.
I do not mind answering his question, Chandu. But there was nothing. We were talking quite calmly, and suddenly, without a word, he fell from his chair and did not speak again. And then you were in the doorway, Chandu, with Dorothy.
Yes. You were gone so long, we wondered if anything had happened. Dorothy and I came down to your cabin to see if you were all right. Just as we reached the door, we heard you scream.
As soon as we opened the door, I saw your cabin was the very room we'd been in the crystal that day, in the garden at home. I knew before we saw Andra lying there on the floor that death was there. I thought at first it might be you, Nagi.
It almost makes you believe in what Andra said about that curse of him, doesn't it, Uncle Frank?
Say, that's right. You know what Andra said? He said that nobody in this generation of his family had been hit by that curse yet. You know that?
I know he did. And he said that everybody in the family was kind of watching everybody else to see where it was going to strike next.
Oh, don't you. Nagi, do you think you could sleep if I came down and sat with you for a while? You'll be ill if you don't get some sleep.
Oh, no, Dorothy. I cannot go back to that cabin where Andra...
Dorothy doesn't mean that, Nagi. Of course you can. But there's a cabin just beyond Betty's that's not being used. Why not take that one?
No, Chandu. I cannot sleep. I feel as if I could never sleep again.
Gee, Nagi, you sound like you thought it was your fault Andra died.
Perhaps it is, Bob.
Why, Nagi, what do you mean? How could it have been your fault?
I do not know, Chandu. But why should it have happened as it did if I were not concerned in it?
But how could you be concerned in it, Nagi? Any more than any of the rest of us?
Oh, please don't feel so badly, Nagi. What if any of us had been talking to him when it happened?
Oh, Betty Lou, you do not understand.
Nagi, you must stop blaming yourself for Andra's death. As Dorothy says, how could you possibly have been concerned in it? You aren't thinking of what Dinyan said, are you?
Of course I am, Chandu. He said those tribal drums bring a message of death. And it is true.
Well, what about that old family curse of Andra's? He said all the time he knew he was going to die after that little image in the cabin was broken.
Frank, you don't think Andra took that seriously, do you?
Yes, Don, I do.
Oh.
You know, in spite of his European education and his travels and all that, he never could succeed in ridding himself of some of those primitive superstitions. And that one, of course, had been impressed upon him ever since he was a boy.
Well, Nagi, are you really related to Andra? Why, Betty?
Now you've done it.
What do you mean, Betty?
Oh, Uncle Frank, I'm sorry. I thought maybe you'd know what I mean. I mean, I thought maybe Nagi was worried because that old curse of Andra's family might belong to her, too, if she is related to him.
Betty, dear, why should you say such a thing as that?
Well, Mother, I didn't mean to say. Maybe I shouldn't have. But they do look alike. You know they do.
Of course they don't, dear.
Yes, they do, Mother. Don't they, Uncle Frank?
Chandu, say you have not seen it.
Of course I've noticed it.
Oh.
You have?
Well, is Andra your cousin or something, Nagi?
Don't look so distressed, Nagi. We aren't going to ask you any more about it than you want to tell us.
Of course not. I'm sorry I said a word about it. I'm sorry I even noticed it, Nagi, if it hurt your feelings.
Do not be concerned for me, Betty Lou.
Nagi, you must listen to me. Why don't you and Dorothy...
Uncle Frank, look, here comes the doctor.
I bet he's looking for you.
Oh, yes. Dr. Willoughby, here we are in the lounge.
Yes. Mr. Chandler, I'd like to speak with you alone for a few moments, if you don't mind.
Certainly not.
And I wish the rest of you would go to bed and try to get some sleep. This is a very distressing occurrence, I know, especially in view of the fact that the yacht is disabled and we can't make port without help. But that's all the more reason why we don't want any of you to be ill. Your Highness, I'll bring you a sedative, and I beg you to drink it and go to bed.
But I cannot sleep.
The medicine I send you will make you sleep. How are you feeling, Mrs. Regent?
Oh, I'm quite all right, thank you, Doctor. We're all worried about Her Highness.
I quite understand. And by the way, Mr. Chandler, the service will be held in the morning.
You mean you're going to bury Andra at sea?
Yes.
Does the captain understand this?
Yes, Mr. Chandler. There's nothing else to do under the circumstances.
Of course not.
We'll go down to our cabins and leave you and Dr. Willoughby, Frank. Come, children.
You'll go with Nadja and see that she takes the medicine the doctor sends her?
Of course, Frank. Come, children.
Nadja, you forgot your scarf.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Bob.
Good night, Uncle Frank. Good night, Dr. Willoughby.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Now then, Doctor.
Mr. Chandler, I've been connected with Andra's family for many years, and I'm going to speak very frankly.
Of course. What do you mean?
When I first went out to the East, I was a young man, intent on making a study of certain tropical diseases. I met Andra's father in the course of my investigations, and at one time, I was able to save the life of a member of his family when he had been given up as hopeless.
I see.
Andra's father became very much interested in me, and, well, I needn't go into all that, but it ended by my remaining there as physician to his household. Andra's father has always been most generous and has supplied me with everything necessary for my research, which I have carried on all this time.
You're explaining all this to accomplish something you're going to say, aren't you?
Well, frankly, yes. Briefly, the rest of the explanation is this. When Andra ordered this yacht built, his father made only one stipulation, and that was, when he began his cruise around the world, I was to accompany him.
That's easy to understand, of course. By the way, you told me Andra had probably always had a weak heart. If you've been personal physician to his family all these years, why did you say probably?
I wonder if you've already guessed what I'm going to say.
Suppose you tell me what it is you have in your mind.
In just a moment. First, will you tell me just what you know of the circumstances under which Andra went to Her Highness' cabin to speak with her?
Would you rather question Her Highness herself?
Not tonight. She's on the verge of hysteria, and I can speak to her in the morning. I thought, however, she had probably spoken to you of what occurred.
Yes, she did.
Ah.
But she told my sister and me that she had asked Andra to come into her cabin to discuss some way in which she might avoid going to Suva.
Why is it she doesn't want to go to Suva?
That's what none of us know. She has a positive aversion for the place for some reason.
That's strange, isn't it?
It seems strange. But of course, it probably would be something very ordinary if we knew the reason.
Perhaps I can find out what it is.
I wouldn't advise you to question her about it, Doctor. We've all tried and failed. You know she's Egyptian, and something must have happened to make her feel so strongly about it.
Egyptian?
Yes. Didn't you know?
I suppose I might have guessed it. How did she think Andra could help her to keep away from Suva when the yacht is disabled?
I don't know. But doubtless she had some plan in mind.
Was that all they talked of, this plan of hers?
There was never any secret about that. In fact, he told my niece and nephew about it himself only the other day.
Mr. Chandler, you will forgive my insistence on knowing the whole truth about this matter. You must understand that Andra was almost like a son to me. I've known him since he was little more than a baby.
I quite understand, of course. But why not be perfectly frank, as you said you would when you sat down? If I can answer any questions for you, I'll be glad to, you know. Although we've only known Andra for a few weeks. He was introduced to my sister and the children by a mutual friend in Beverly Hills.
Yes, yes, I understood that. Well, I'll tell you exactly what I think.
I wonder if I've guessed it.
Well?
You've discovered Andra did not die of heart failure, as you at first said. Am I right?
Yes, you are.
In fact, you probably told me that about his having died of heart failure. To prevent our learning what you suspected. Isn't that it?
My word, Mr. Chandler. You're uncanny.
Not at all. So, of course, there's only one more thing for you to tell me. And that's the manner in which you think he met his death.
But I'm not prepared at the moment to be too positive as to the cause of his death. But I believe he was poisoned.
And you're prepared to accuse Nutty of murder?
Yes, Mr. Chandler. I'm sorry, but it's my duty to explain my suspicions to the captain. And until an investigation can be made, to ask that Her Highness be confined to her cabin.